If you ask me, why do I stand here so unafraid of everything around me? Proudly I would say, I am a Muslim. If you ask her, why does she dress that way, all covered up in a world that gives it all away? Proudly she would say, I am a Muslim.
Islamic laws.
If you ask him, why does he still pray 5 times a day when so many others have strayed? Smiling, he would say, I am a Muslim. Din al-Islam, dini, wal-azam, ghayru dini, Muhammad illi hadini.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of God. Welcome to the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Javad, hosting this program. And sitting in the studio along with me, Sheikh Javid, well, the dear guest speaker in this program, Islamic Laws. Welcome to the program, Sheikh Javid.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
The pleasure is ours. Stay tuned. We'll be back. We are going to talk about the rules of Hajj, in fact, according to Ayatollah Khamenei. But before that, let's take a listen to a short biography. A little bit of background about Ayatollah Khamenei. He was born in 1939. When he began his Hawza studies, it took him 5.5 years to finish the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh. The standard time for studying the Muqaddamat in the Sutuh for an Iranian student that is not raised with the Arabic language is about 10 years. At the age of 18, he starts attending Bahthul Kharij. Bahthul Kharij, he starts it in Mashhad under Sayyid Hadi Milani. For 7 years straight, he was in Qom studying under Ayatollah Burujerdi, Imam Khomeini, the son of Ayatollah Ha'ari, who set up the Hawza in Qom, Sheikh Murtada Ha'ari, which was one of the top figures in Qom. Then he went back to Mashhad. For 4 years, he studied Kharij under Ayatollah Milani again. Speaking to some of those who knew Ayatollah Khamenei in Iran, when the issue of the ijtihad of Ayatollah Khamenei came up, they said, we testify that he was a mujtahid not now, but in 1337, that's in the Iranian calendar, 1337, that's the first year that he started his Bahthul Kharij. He was teaching also. He had classes, he was teaching makasas, some of the advanced classes in the Hawza, he was teaching that. 5 years before the actual movement started by Imam Khomeini, he was a mujtahid according to that testimony. And when the movement of Imam Khomeini began, he was part of it, he was politically active, but he also was involved with his studies, as we said. Up to 1347, he was actively participating in Bahthul Kharij of Ayatollah Milani in Mashhad. And after he became the supreme leader, a little while after that, because he was requested a lot to start Bahthul Kharij, he started Bahthul Kharij and he's teaching. One can very clearly testify that this man is no doubt one of the most just and adil scholars that would not, for any reason, for his children, for his family, for his personal benefit, for any party's benefit, for anything other than Allah, change his view and make a decision to go against what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said because of something like that.
SubhanAllah.
Back to the program, Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio. With me, Muhammad Javed, hosting this program, and Sheikh Javed, as always, our guest speaker in the studio. Sheikh Javed, since we are talking about Hajj according to Ayatollah Khamenei's fatwas regarding Hajj and the jurisprudential laws around it, let me ask you this question. You know, are there any specific recommended acts or rituals that, Muslims should do or follow up, let's say, before embarking on a Hajj journey?
Well, there are some recommended acts, and there are some obligatory acts that one should perform, should do. Mm-hmm. One, for example, if you are if you have an asset which you are going to use to perform Hajj,
right?
You need to purify that asset, and whatever you have in your house, if a year has passed on your bank balance or on the property that you have,
right,
and you have not paid khums from that property, it is obligatory to perform and to give khums from the property, from the asset, or from your bank balance that you have, if a year has passed over the asset or the capital that you possess. You cannot perform Hajj if you do not or if you will not pay khums from the property or from the capital that you have saved over the years. Mm-hmm. Okay?
Yes.
This is obligatory. And if you have, if you owe someone some money, you have to give it, you have to repay it, otherwise you cannot perform an obligatory Hajj. This is something mandatory, it's necessary. You cannot embark on an obligatory Hajj if you owe someone some money. That's it. And then when it comes to recommended things, of course, before you want to leave for Hajj,
right,
it is very much important and highly recommended that you go from door to door, from visit your relatives, friends, mm-hmm, and ask them for forgiveness. It's recommended based on the tradition and the hadith that we have received from our infallible imams and from the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him. It is recommended that you ask your friends and relatives, mm-hmm, to for forgiveness.
Right.
Forgiveness. And perhaps you might have hurt them, you might have physically, hurt them, you might have bothered them, they might be unhappy, they might be dissatisfied, or some kind of liabilities are there. And it's important that before embarking on a Hajj journey, you turn to them and ask them for forgiveness. That's very important.
I see. What about the recommended acts that you need to do as a Muslim coming back from the pilgrimage after Hajj,
Yeah.
Are there any specific, again, acts that, recommended to those people who took the trouble and the trip from Mecca?
The recommended thing is that he who comes or arrives back home, it is better that he gives people a feast.
Right.
As a feast is recommended. And it should be a handsome, a good, an affordable one. It should not be very much rich in terms of quality and, mm-hmm, quantity, because it should be modest. The Islam does not encourage or does not endorse
or
advocate or condone to kind of wastefulness.
Mm, yes.
Extravagance is not permissible in Islam.
Right.
So giving a feast is recommended. But of course, more important than giving a feast is to maintain your spirituality after,
right,
the Hajj.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's he who performs the pilgrimage of the house of God, of Allah, of course, he is, according to the reports, he is purified from all sins, and he should live a clean, a pure, and a decent life. He should not indulge in things which are, which may be haram and which might pollute his soul, and might destroy his spirituality.
I see. Okay, thank you very much, Sheikh Javed. Let's take a short break and we'll be back and continue our program, Islamic Laws, on IRIB English Radio. Stay with us.
لا إله إلا الله والله أكبر.
The followers of Ayatollah Khamenei can refer to leader.ir/en. In the section Religious Affairs, you can ask your question and receive the answer. In the library section, some of Ayatollah Khamenei's works of jurisprudence are available, including Practical Laws of Islam, Frequently Asked Questions, Comparative Fatwa, and Newly Asked Questions.
Back to the program, Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program, and Sheikh Javid, our guest speaker. We are talking about the jurisprudential rules of Hajj according to Ayatollah Khamenei. Sheikh Javid, since it's a couple of episodes that we are speaking about this important ritual in Islam, I mean Hajj, the pilgrimage to the house of God, what are the different types of Hajj? Let's put it out actually to our dear audience.
Very good question. Well, there are, first of all, I should say that there are different types of Hajj. The most important Hajj which people predominantly and mostly, of course, perform is Hajjatul Islam, or what is called Hajj At-Tamattu. This is the Hajj which is obligatory for people who leave out of the premise of Mecca, who leave at least 90, who leave out of the vicinity of Mecca, okay? So people who perform, who live within 90 kilometers from Mecca, they are supposed to perform Hajj Qiran or Hajj Ifrat. So we have different types of Hajj, Hajj Tamattu, which is called Hajjatul Islam, and we have Hajj Qiran, Hajj Ifrat. And then we have Hajj Umrah, okay?
Right.
Umrah Mufrada. But generally speaking, people also call Umrah as Hajj, okay? Because
right.
those people who perform pilgrimage of the house of God, they are generally, you know, believed to be perform Hajj. You know, while they perform different types of Hajj. Maybe if I travel, for example, to Mecca in the month of Rajab or Sha'ban, for example, mm-hmm. I cannot perform Hajj Tamattu or the obligatory Hajj. What I can do is Umrah Mufrada, okay?
Mm.
And Umrah Mufrada is not obligatory. But of course, if I wear the ihram, if I go to Mecca, I have to wear the ihram and perform it. It becomes mm-hmm. obligatory.
I see.
If I am...
Once you're there.
Yeah, once I'm there, yes. So that's called Umrah. And of course, we have Hajjatul Islam, which starts with Umrah. The first thing that you should do is Umrah, okay? Umrah begins from ihram, from Miqat, and then it will continue until you finish it with Sa'i between Safa and Marwa, and then finally the Taqsir, the clipping of your nails or hair, or shortening your hair. That's called Taqsir.
What about those people you said that live actually within the 90-kilometer vicinity of Mecca?
Of Mecca. But those
do
people,
they have to go to Hajj every year? Is it obligatory for them?
No, it's not obligatory because, you know, now there are of course, limitations. You know, the government will not allow...
A number limit.
Yeah.
A ration.
Sure. The Saudi government will not allow all Saudis to take part in the Hajj pilgrimage because it will get
congested,
overcrowded.
Yeah,
overcrowded. It will become dangerous. So even Saudi Arabia has to stick to the poor, to the ration, okay?
Yes.
And then people who live within 90 kilometers from the Mecca, from the Kaaba, should perform Qiran or Ifrad, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And of course, there's no Umrah before Qiran and Ifrad.
Is it obligatory for them, like at least once in their lifetime?
Yeah, why not?
Like
the
Hajj Tamattu.
Yeah, once in a lifetime they should perform because it is their Hajj, and of course the rules regarding the rules of Hajj Qiran and Ifrad are slightly different because Qiran and Ifrad do not have Umrah. They are not supposed to start their Hajj with Umrah. Of course, Umrah is an independent Hajj for them.
Yes.
They can do it next year or maybe sometimes before it. But what they are supposed to do is go straight to Mecca and perform Qiran or Ifrat. They should make the niyyah of Qiran or Ifrat. So the names are different, you know.
Yes.
But when it comes to performing Hajj Tamattu and Hajj Qiran and Ifrat, they are the same. Okay, they mm-hmm. should, for example, the wukuf is there, staying there in, at Arafat, Muzdalifah, and then Rami stoning the Jamarat, and then doing the Sa'i and Safa, and then Tawaf, and then
the procedures stay the same.
The procedure is the same, but the names are
different. Okay. Thank you very much, Sheikh Javid, for your nice answers and contribution to the program Islamic Laws on IRIB English Radio. Until then, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
رحمن رحيم منان كريم سلام عليم من جاء إله إلا هو غفار جميل وهاب لطيف تواب سميع بصير لا إله إلا هو وحيد قدير محيي مميت الظاهر والباطن لا إله إلا هو لا إله إلا هو